This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Moving on to our story, it is a big one. There has, of course, been a second child marriage case, or second kind of child marriage case hitting the headlines, rather. And I think what has caused some discomfort has also been our Deputy Prime Minister Wan Azizah's response to it.
That's correct. So she had said in an earlier statement, was reported that she had said that the marriage was based on mutual consent.
Yes.
I think she used those terms. And she said that despite the fact that it was based on mutual consent, the government would nevertheless press on with its bid to raise the legal marriage age to 18.
Well, what she did was she clarified that note statement about consenting, saying that it was a descriptive statement based on the child bride's explanation, all of which caused us to wonder about how people understand that word, consent. I think in the age of Me Too, it's come up time and time again, right? People use it a lot. And yet there seems to be some fundamental misunderstandings about what it entails.
No, I don't think you're wrong, Lynn. And I don't think it's just got to do with the Me Too movement as well. We've even before the whole Me Too movement, there were a lot of explainer videos going around on the internet, because just trying to explain the idea of consent, people were using all kinds of examples. I remember one particularly funny one about whether or not you would want tea if someone offered it to you, right?
Yes.
And that was a very good description of what consent is.
That was by a police department.
It was by a police department. So, I mean, but in the case of, the Deputy Prime Minister, the choice of words are very, very important, especially when describing something like this. I mean, coming out later and clarifying the statement is one thing, but in the case of child marriage, in the case of in this case, what could be underage sex and all of that, and everything that entails, the word consent has a lot of baggage.
Yeah, so Lawyers for Liberty came out very strongly saying that, to put it shortly and simply, legally a child cannot consent. So the word there is just, it is a meaningless word, because it doesn't matter whether or not the child likes the person she's married to, whether or not she even wants to be married to that person. It doesn't matter, because legally, she is not able to provide that consent.
And that is the justification for so much of our legal system, right? This idea that if you are below a certain age, and I know we were talking about this even when it came to voting, right? It's arbitrary to a certain extent, like 17, 18,
16 yeah.
17, you know, how much maturity happens in that one day switchover that you can suddenly vote, for example, or give consent. But that arbitrary marker is incredibly important. And so because of that, I think anyone below is legally, below the age of 18 in this country, is legally defined as not having, I suppose, the mental capacity to be making those decisions, right?
Mental and emotional.
In emotional capacity.
Yes. We've got Philip, who said, regarding child marriage, I strongly agree the age should be increased to 18, regardless of whether it's Sharia or civil. But I do feel uncomfortable when Dr. Wan Azizah declared that the underage bride involved in this child marriage case had given mutual consent. Her statement can violate children's rights. If she can't tackle the issue, she should resign and step down. And she should also take action against those people who are involved in child marriage, as this would otherwise encourage rape, pedophilia, and child sexual abuse.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, we're crossing over now to clinical psychologist Vizsla Kumaresan to kind of draw out what we're talking about in terms of consent. Vizsla, thank you so much for joining us. Now, as we've been alluding to, consent is a deceptively simple term. Could you define its parameters for us?
Okay, so consent currently is understood as explicitly saying yes, and it should be said with quote-unquote enthusiasm. All right, so when someone asks you, would you like something, you actually say yes. You don't shrug your shoulders, you don't nod your head, you don't go, You know, you actually say yes with a little bit of enthusiasm. And enthusiasm doesn't have to be, you know, where you're jumping into the sky, you know, jumping up in the air and pumping your fists or any of that, but just actually understanding and showing positive emotion that what you are saying correlates with how you are feeling. So that's generally how consent is understood.
Right. So, Vizsla, when the thing is, when dealing with teenagers, Actually, no. Let me ask you this first. The legal age of consent differs from country to country. How is it determined, and how do you determine the age at which someone is mature enough to give their consent?
I think the age of consent doesn't have much to do with perceived maturity. Most human rights documents understand that 18 is the age of majority, and therefore that should also be the age of where someone can legally consent to something. And this applies for things like accessing medical services, wanting to go travel on your own, all those things. It's assumed that 18 is the appropriate age for someone to be able to make that decision for themselves. Now, when it comes to marriage, if you look at human rights documents such as the Convention for the Elimination of All Forms of Discrimination Against Women, that's CEDAW, or the Convention on the Rights of the Child, the CRC, both documents that Malaysia has ratified and acceded to, it states that children under the age of 18 cannot consent. CEDAW explicitly talks about marriage, and this is important because it is assumed that at least by the age of 18, children would have been able to finish school, high school. Most jurisdictions, they finish school at 17, 18. And allowing a child to complete her education means that she possibly has a better future ahead of her. In the event of the marriage not working out, in the event of her being widowed or any such thing, she at least has a basic education upon which to fall back on, and she can look after herself. She will be able to access, she'll be literate in that sense, be able to access a whole lot of health services and other services that will enable her to have a better and richer life. So this is why 18 is a very important number when it comes to consenting to marriage.
Vizsla, as anyone who has ever, I suppose, had any interaction with teenagers or adolescents will know, adults questioning their decisions can sometimes come across as very, very patronising. How do we deal with that issue of tone in a matter as serious as this?
Well, I do see that children younger than 16 can, you know, be in love, can have fulfilling relationships and want to get married. And I think the appropriate conversation to have with adolescents who are going through this is not to say, listen to me, I know better, but to help them understand the minimum requirements, things like education, the importance of an education, the kind of doors that will be open to them if they finish school. So it's not about not getting married, but postponing their decision until they're 18. You know, the practical things about living, right? The number 18 is very, very important. A lot of signing legal documents, you need to be 18. Otherwise, the parents would have to sign for them. Would the adolescents themselves, if they want to get married before they're 18, do they really want to have their parents sign off on everything that they do? So these are things that need to be taken into consideration if there are adolescents who are considering getting married.
So Vizsla, let's take a look at what DPM Wan Azizah has said. Prior to this, she was quoted in the news as saying that in the recent case of child marriage in Kelantan, consent was given for the marriage. Now, she's since gone on to clarify that she meant it as a descriptive phrase based on her investigator's understanding of the situation. From your perspective, could you unpack why this statement was problematic? Is the word consent used too lightly?
Yes, I think the statement should have been clearer, that it wasn't, you know, that the child had consented, but the child had implied that this is what she wanted. Now, as investigators, I think it's important also for them to have delved into the question a little further. How did this girl know that this is what she wanted? This is a child who, you know, based on reports, is growing up in, a situation of poverty. Did she make this decision because she thought she was going to make life for her parents easier? Did she make this decision based on an understanding of what is appropriate and inappropriate? What is going to happen to her? What the risks are, all these things need to be taken into consideration. Now, if you ask the young person, you know, do they want one ice cream or two ice creams, they would say two, right? Because that's what they think is good for them. But as adults, you know, it's assumed that if the child's under your protection, you have to make that decision for them. Eating two ice creams is going to make a child sick. Eating two ice creams will possibly make the child extremely hyper and they're not going to go to sleep. They won't be able to rest. So when it comes to this, you can't simply just take the child's quote-unquote consent. You really have to take a lot of other matters into consideration. So I think it was a little bit callous for them to have said that, even if it was descriptive, to say that the child consented, because it's incumbent upon them to explore further and to fully understand how that quote-unquote consent was arrived at.
You talked about this briefly earlier, but one of the areas in which consent is often misunderstood is when it appears to be given, but it might have been coerced. What forms might that coercion take, and does it nullify consent in your view?
Like I said, you know, consent must be provided enthusiastically, where someone is fully aware of all the information available and the repercussions of their actions. Consent is coerced when it is manipulated, such as, you know, if you agree, you know, this is how it's going to benefit you, if there is some kind of quote-unquote bribe involved, right? If you marry me, you're going to live in a better house. That would be coercing a consent. If you marry me, you're going to have a better life. Things like that, right? Ideally, you want someone to be able to consent to marrying you for the purpose of being married to you and not for all the other things. So that's one of the ways where consent can be coerced. Now, in the case of children, there's also the possibility of grooming. How an older person with more power asserts themselves onto a younger person and sort of, quote-unquote, trains them, and by, you know, being affectionate, showing them attention, you know, and a whole lot of other things in order to get them to, again, quote-unquote, consent to what the adult wants their child to do.
So in the recent case of child marriage in Kelantan, poverty and cultural norms appear to have played a huge role. When faced with these circumstances, what can be done to change mindset surrounding child marriage and consent?
I think enforcement is very important. This morning, the Minister for Religious Affairs, Mujahid Rawa, explicitly stated that the Sharia courts have been told that poverty is not a valid reason for marriage of children, right? So here you have a minister stating that this is an issue that's already been sorted out, but the Sharia courts are obviously not following policy. So proper enforcement is going to be very, very necessary. And of course, ideally, we want the minimum age of marriage to be raised to 18. The fact that Selangor has done it shows that it can be done, and the other states really must, you know, exercise the kind of will that's necessary to make it happen.
Vizla, thank you so much for your thoughts. That was clinical psychologist Vizla Kumarasan giving us a 101 on what consent means, especially when we're talking about it within the context of a child being able to give consent to a situation like marriage. We've gotten a number of questions and comments. Ding saying, during high school and primary school, we were always asked to get our parents' consent before we were able to join a class trip or whatnot. Even if we really wanted to go, a no from our parents means no. So in this case, does a yes from the parents mean go ahead and marry my underage daughter? I think Vizla did address that.
Yeah, Vizla did address that a little bit. But of course, I mean, I think it's also important to note that it has to be something that is right in terms of the law. So if the age of if the marriageable age is 18 years old, it doesn't matter what your parents say. If it's against the law for someone to drink alcohol, if your father is getting you drunk at 12, that he can still be arrested for it, right?
One via WhatsApp saying, regarding the child marriage issue, the physical age aside, I hope we can come up with a procedure to measure people's mental age. Since my school years, I've always felt frustrated with adults that were physically grown but mentally childish. I would also like to stress that your living environment also helps to build mental ability. I agree that our outsides don't always correspond with our mental maturity. But again, I suppose that's where the age of consent comes in, right? It
Correct.
Might be arbitrary, but that's what it's for.
Yeah.
And finally, we have someone saying, sue them for child sexual abuse. There's no need to talk about consent.
It's a very direct approach.
Yes, it is. I would make the argument that a conversation about consent matters regardless. But
yes. Also because I think consent matters on a multitude of levels, right? So it's not just about child marriage. It goes beyond conversations about rape, because those are the extreme examples of consent. But actually, on a day-to-day level as well, you know, Vizla said very early on, an enthusiastic yes. And people are forced to do a lot of things they don't necessarily want to do because their level of enthusiasm isn't necessarily portrayed. And I think that's why consent is important at every level.
I completely agree. We also, I guess, it's a conversation that we're going to need to continue having as things grow. Please keep your thoughts coming. We would love to hear from you about issues of consent, issues surrounding this case of child marriage. That number to call, 7733 2900. You can also WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899. You can tweet us at BFM Radio. We are headed to the news. You are listening to the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.